All right. Amanda.
What's up?
Have you heard of the five love languages?
Who has it? Words of affirmation, acts of service, and there's like
Yeah. Like physical touch,
okay.
Quality time,
yep.
Buy me a damn gift already, right? Got it? Okay, so which one are you?
What do you think I am?
I don't know.
Oh, well, acts of service, hands down. If I come home and you cleaned all the dishes and the house is all tidy, done.
Makes
love
sense.
You forever.
Makes sense. Good to know. I didn't realize it would be so easy to crack that code. I have an idea.
Oh, yeah?
After we record this episode, I'll put everything away and clean up the studio for you, and you can just sit back and relax and watch.
That would be lovely, and I would just love you a little bit more than I already do. Though, we barely even started, and I think this is probably going to be one of the best episodes ever. So, what's your love language?
Well, therein lies the problem.
What problem?
I'm not sure what it is.
What? How do you not know?
That's why I asked the question in the first place. But I have an idea, though.
Oh, no. What?
I propose we add a new love language for Peter.
Of course you would propose that. And now I'm really nervous because you have set me up, but I'm going to ask the question anyways.
I totally said
what is it?
Okay. When was the last time you laughed? Like, I'm talking about like a massive laugh.
Like, 2 seconds ago.
No. Like, like takes your breath away laugh. Like you can't even hold it together. You even peed a little bit like in your, you know, pants.
Probably like February 6th, 2023.
Wow. So specific. Like, do you remember that really?
Absolutely. No, of course not. I just made it up so you would tell me what you're trying to get out here.
Oh, you just made my point. You don't remember. That's why I propose laughter should be my love language. Because when I think about it, it's the only thing that really lights up my soul.
Yeah, that's true. It really does. For you, getting a laugh and laughing are totally up your alley.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Because if my love language is laughter, then that means I want someone to make me laugh.
Correct. You like humor.
Oops.
You were drawn to
humor. No, correct. Although, but I really enjoy making people laugh. So maybe that's not my love language after all.
No, it is. Because as acts of service, I love when people do things without me having to ask.
Yes.
But in return, I help people out.
Yeah.
In their time of
need. I know. So then I have to find someone who makes me laugh. Therein lies the problem. Because I think I'm hilarious. But now I have to find someone who makes me laugh.
I mean, you're the funniest person in the room all the time.
Okay.
So
I have a great idea.
Good luck.
When this episode's over, why don't I clean the studio and you think of ways to make me laugh?
Oh, Lord have mercy. This is not going to go
Let's
well.
Do this.
Okay, we can try.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values.
But really, it's a show where we hope to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make them more interesting and well-versed humans and just dangerous enough to hold their own in this sophisticated world. Sort of.
And today, we will be broadcasting from our love lab.
Oh, God.
Where we will attempt to decode the five love languages, because apparently saying I love you isn't enough unless you also bring home takeout or offer a foot massage. So whether you're a seasoned expert who can recite the love languages in your sleep or someone who thought physical touch meant high fives, join us as we unravel these romantic dialects and discover whether you're speaking quality time or just plain Klingon, people. Shout out to all the Trekkies out there. And our word of the day is filipendulous. Our challenge is to work this word into the podcast somewhere and make it seem like we meant to.
I really don't know where you find these words. Come on. Filipendulous?
Filipendulous.
Like, what is happening? What is the definition?
Okay, it means sort of like hanging on by a thread, like literally. Like the way a cocoon hangs from a little tree branch, or sort of the way I'm just getting through life right now.
All right, one, bullshit. But two, got to go hard and deep like that? Come on, right out the gate? Got to start tugging at those heartstrings?
I am a little bit. What do you
All
want
right.
me to do?
All right, okay. Hanging by a thread. Good luck.
I am being filipendulous right now.
I don't think that's how that fits in. You're hanging by a thread?
Look it up, mama.
All right, well, why don't you go ahead and give us a little history of the five love languages. Who created them? Blah, 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 because we know how much you like history.
Always got to start with history. So. That's what we're here for. All right, on it. So this dude, Dr. Gary Chapman, figured out there were basically five general, air quote, general ways we communicate love to one another. We'll get to those in a minute. I want to introduce Dr. Chapman first, because he deserves a little shout out. So basically, he's this famous marriage counselor. Well, he's famous now, because he wasn't when he figured all this shit out.
Is he dead?
He is not dead.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because usually people get famous after they die, so just checking.
That is true. We've sort of figured that one out. No, I guess he started as a pastor and then became a marriage counselor. And now, of course, most recently, an author who spent the last 40 or 50 years helping screwed up couples improve their relationships. He's like really old now, like born in 1938, like before World War II even started, man. Like old, like maybe like 90, but not dead. Anyway, so he starts his career as a marriage counselor, and pretty much like any normal therapist, all these couples would come into his office complaining they were misunderstood or unloved. He doesn't get what I'm saying. The story of my life. Through his sessions, he started noticing patterns, or as Gabby would say, padrons, because she never said that right, on how these couples expressed and received love, probably because he liked figuring out puzzles.
He had a beautiful mind.
Yeah.
Or was a genius.
Well, we're not sure. Who knows? But shout out to Dr. Chapman. So I think it's because he was wicked smart. He basically realized they were speaking different languages, air quotes, when it came to expressing this kind of love. So somehow he figures out to start sorting these patterns into categories as all these couples kept sharing example after example of all the shit they had to deal with. And voila, the five basic languages were born. So around 1992, I'm not going to date myself and tell you where I was during that time, Amanda. So Chapman has this aha moment and realizes not only could he explain these languages in his sessions, but they could also be an awesome tool for improving communication between partners. So he writes the now insanely famous book, The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And in the book, it basically outlines the five primary ways people express and experience love. Since its publication, are you ready for this? It's sold over 20 million copies worldwide and has been translated into more than 50 languages. That's like the Bible. Okay, no, I think the Bible is way more than that, but you get my point. It has been on numerous bestseller lists and one of the most recommended books by therapists. And 30 years later, it is a total cultural phenomenon. It's all over social media, TikTok, Instagram, Snap, whatever else. And it's worked its way into everyday conversations, which I think is totally awesome. So I have an idea.
Oh, no, another one.
I know we breezed through this all in the teaser, but why don't you give the names of each love language with like a quick description? And then I'll fill in some details and examples.
Okay, I'll try my best.
We ready?
I guess so.
Go.
Okay, so I'm going to go with words of affirmation first. Basically, it's verbal expressions of love or appreciation. And it's about saying nice things and showing your partner that you notice something in their actions. And compliments make this group of people feel all warm and fuzzy inside, like a warm hug.
They do, and it's awesome. And I know I totally said laughter should be my love language. But until that's official, this is totally my love language. And it drove my wife crazy.
Yours is words of affirmation.
Yes, it drove Gabby
like,
crazy.
I
need words of affirmation.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, no. I would have bet physical touch.
Oh, God, no. Well, that's so funny because I think a lot of women think men's is physical touch.
And no, I think a lot of specifically.
I think a lot of men think women's is acts of service. And we could do a whole podcast on that.
Interesting. Okay.
But no. Mine is all words of affirmation. All I've ever wanted to hear from this woman was like, you're hilarious or you're hot or you look so good in that outfit. I mean, Amanda, like every day. Like I was worse than her at this, okay? She knew it. She like totally knew it. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I feel like she went out of her way to purposely say it about someone else right in front of me. And then I'd look at her like, what the fuck just happened? And she would give me that like super flirty little look. Like, I just nailed you. And she loved it. She would just stop me in my tracks. She had so much power when she did this to me and totally knew how to like get my goat. It was a mind screw and super hot all at the same time. And it totally made me want to physically touch her all over the place. And she was awesome. And I love her.
I have so many feelings about this.
I know. Let me keep going. So she had this nickname for me. She used to call me the verbal vitamin. So this took about 10 years in our relationship before she figured this out. Yeah. She was a psychology major, so she learned this, like, the love languages. Like
I didn't know she was a psychology major.
Yeah, yeah, before she became a PA. Yeah. So she learned this love language crap, like, a long time ago. So the verbal vitamin, because I needed to hear I love you, like, every morning. Like, you would take, like, a one-a-day pill, like a woman's pill or a man's pill. Like, that was my name. It was a total joke that she came up with. It's like I have this meter inside of me that fills up every time somebody says something nice, and when it's full, I burst like the yellow light of the sun all over everyone. I would literally beg Gabby to tell me something nice. It really was hilarious. Okay.
So really, when you get all the bad feedback about the podcast.
That's terrible. No, it crushes. It's soul crushing. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why it's so hard to be just out there. Oh my God, yes. Okay, so some examples of things you could look for words of affirmation, people, right? Like, you look amazing today. How about thanks for being so awesome all the time? You're so cool to hang out with. And my personal fave, you're perfect and I love you. And some things they don't want to hear, let's start with, you look tired. Did you sleep enough last night? Kill me now when people say that to me. The worst one, what's wrong with you today? You're acting different. How about you go fuck yourself? Like, when people say that to me, and I get that quite a bit, like, I know I should be doing a lot of self-awareness stuff, but in my head, I want to kill them.
It's like they light a fuse.
Oh, totally. So here's my, like, weird, quirky analogy for these people. Like, think of us as sort of like a love jukebox. You put in words, and we'll play a happy song. Just don't forget to keep feeding us compliments, or I'm going to scratch the record and hit repeat 1,000 times and piss you off.
I really love the way your brain works. It's just so complex. But I do think one day we need to open it up and see what's inside. Oh, maybe donate it to science. I think that's what we're going to do.
You don't want to know what's inside my brain.
I probably don't. Because I don't know how you come up with crap like this.
A lot of tarantulas and creepy crawly things. And
that's a lie. I know what's in your brain. It's fine. Anyways.
Okay. Well, there's that too.
Okay. Next.
What's next? Give me the second one.
Acts of service, which is like when you're doing a task to show that you care and you support, and sometimes you do it without being asked.
Is this like actions speak louder than words?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
It's like doing the dishes or picking up the dog poop.
Who picks up the dog poop in your house?
The children.
Are those acts of service to you?
No, those are chores.
Those are chores. So you don't look at it that way. So they have to go out of their way to do something for you.
Not out of the way. When you do it, when it's not an obligation.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So like I said at the beginning of the episode, this is totally my love language.
I'm getting that. I'm picking up what you're putting down here.
Just do stuff that's unexpected for me and I'll be happy all the time. Happy as a clam.
Except receiving gifts. If I give you a gift.
I'm not a big...
Okay, so I have to do something. I can't give you something.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. That was totally Gabby too. She was totally acts of service. And Luke, you know Luke,
oh, really?
My son Luke? Oh my God. Yes, I nicknamed them the do-gooders. So now your official nickname is a do-gooder.
All right.
Yes.
I'll join the club.
And I know you guys do like a shit ton of work because it's what makes you go, right? But my problem with you people is that your expectation is that you expect the same thing from everybody else. Like, it's ridiculous.
But that is how you know what your love language is.
Your mission is to get shit done, period. And people better help you. I bet you have a honey-do list on your fridge for Trent.
No.
Liar. You totally do. Honey-do laundry, honey fix the sink.
I don't.
Kill me now.
I don't.
Let me guess. You love coming home to the vacuum house?
Absolutely.
Clean laundry?
Yep.
Dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And hate. I'm too busy right now. I'll do it later.
Uh-huh. Yep. Death.
Death, really?
I'm just kidding.
I kind of think this is BS.
Maybe not death, but you know.
I think this is kind of like I love you with strings attached.
No.
I think acts of service shouldn't be a love language. It's so like, what, utilitarian. There's nothing sexy about it. Words of affirmation are so much better.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Those are exhausting.
No, not really.
Yeah, yeah.
Not when like I take off my shirt and she's like, oh my God, you look so good today. It's so much better than take out the laundry, please.
The whole point is I don't have to ask to take out the laundry. You would just do it.
Fine, whatever. What's number three?
Okay, fine. Number three, we're just going to move on to receiving gifts.
Receiving
pretty
gifts.
Pretty self-explanatory. You buy some shit and the person's happy.
Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody like that.
Really?
None of my kids. Nobody I know. Huh. No.
I know a few people who are definitely receiving gifts. And they generally are the people who are really good gift givers because they put a lot of thought.
So are we shallow? Like, is that like... I'm sort of having a moment. Like,
no,
are those shallow people?
I don't think so. I think that is how they feel like you thought about them is because you thought to buy them a gift. You put in the energy.
Effort. Thought. Thoughtful.
There you go.
Thoughtful.
Yep.
Okay. So these guys, receiving gift guys, we call them treasure hunters. But they don't need your money. They just want to make the world dance. Forget about the prize tag. It's way more about the thoughtfulness behind the gift.
I think it's thoughtfulness for everyone.
For everyone.
It's just how you show your thoughtfulness.
Yes. But for me, in this case, if I'm a gift giver, like I want like the diamond ring or I want the car. But like these people, like they like collecting pebbles on the beach is like, that's like the best gift ever to them. Right. Because you thought about it and you picked each pebble up. So yeah. Okay. Kill me now. I want to be clear. They're love language, not materialistic. They're more like professional gift detectives. They can totally spot an unthoughtful gift a mile away. So get it right. Or you're like effed, right? Don't buy her the blender for an anniversary gift unless you damn well know she wants it, right? So these people appreciate things like thoughtful handwritten notes in the morning before work, a random flower picked from a garden, and anything custom made for sure, because it took effort. And they will kill you if you forget their birthday and then subsequently make it up with a gift card. Are you getting the idea?
I mean, I get it.
Right.
Are you getting it?
I don't, because I don't know these people and I don't even know if I could deal with them. Okay. Right. Number four. What do you got?
Fine. The fourth one is quality time, which is basically all about spending meaningful time together, usually undivided attention. They're not clingy. It's just that when they're with you, they want you to be present.
Do you know you probably have no quality time ever in your relationship because you always want to make sure Trent's doing shit for you in your acts of service? So that must be really
clearly
hard.
Acts of service is really hard for you to do.
I lived with her for 33 years. It was the bane of my existence. Oh my God. And I didn't say I was great at it.
Did you know that usually, I mean, from what I've heard and kind of read,
what?
That you marry somebody with such an opposite
yep.
love language as
yep,
yours that it is purposefully difficult.
Yes.
That you have to intentionally dig deep to
look,
do
the
it.
The bottom line was we figured it out early and we loved it and we teased each other about it and we made a beautiful life together because of it. So it's all good and it's super fun and teasy, but it was a pain in the ass. Always.
Right.
Yes.
Fair. So who do you know that likes
so both? I have two more kids like this. Okay. So Ruth and Paul, my two youngest, are totally like this. I'm eating dinner with them and my phone vibrates and I look at it for like literally 1 second and I hear, geez, Dad, you're such a screenager. And with Ruth, like especially, if she doesn't get like, I don't know, 500 hours of attention from me a week, she's pissed.
Undivided attention.
I'm not sure like I could ever satisfy a quality timer. Like there's no way. Like they just want to talk and be there and be with you. And it's crazy that I have kids like this because it doesn't fit for me. It's super hard. So if you find yourself like with a quality timer, here are a few tips. They love, love, love eye contact. Total, all the time, like paying attention. Long walks on the beach. Oh my God. Deep conversations about the universe. Paul, I love you. Or why pineapple doesn't belong on a pizza, like all day long. A cozy movie night, popcorn, warm blankets. You get the idea, right? And if you want to get killed, try these little nuggets. How about, sorry, I wasn't listening. What were you saying again? Yeah. Kiss of death. And how about let's double date? It's always more fun. They're going to look at you like, really? How about never dating again? Because I won't have nothing to do with you anymore, a-hole. Yeah. So those are some steer clears. Think of them as like the Wi-Fi love connection. If you want the best signal, you need to be close and avoid distraction. Otherwise, you ain't getting any connection ever.
That was a pretty clever analogy there. Good job.
That's the brain.
It's a good way to,
what are you gonna
to
do?
Remember.
Yeah.
Okay. So our last one then?
Yep. Let's go.
Okay. Physical touch. You know, huggy, huggy, kiss, kiss. All that stuff.
What? There's more stuff?
I mean, sure.
Is it all the physical?
I mean, it's like a scratch on the back.
I'm changing mine to physical.
Pat on a knee.
Is it pat on your butt?
I mean, whatever you want.
I'm changing it to physical touch.
I already told you were physical touch.
Because you think all guys are physical touch.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Oh my God.
I do not.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This one is my runner-up for sure. Okay. It's not like I need to be touched all the time. But listen, when I do, it has to count. So none of this bullshit. Like, I don't want half hug stuff. You got to go all in, right? Like, I need the whole hug. And you know, this is funny because I grew into this one because I was not a hand holder. And then like for like the last 15 or 20 years, I was a total hand holder, like in public.
I mean, you were a Klingon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because
that's why I don't think you grew into it. I think that's always been.
Maybe it was like just like stuffed down deep underneath words of affirmation. I don't know. All right, anyway.
Or you just found Gabby and it came out.
Right. Maybe that's it. All right. They love anything that has to do with getting your sweaty, grubby hands all over them. And they think you have some sort of mental condition if you need any amount of personal space, like at all. They're like love puppies. Like they're wagging their butts like Juno all the time. And they get pet and they pee a little bit, like while they're pet, it's crazy.
And for all of our listeners, Juno is Pete's dog.
Yeah, who literally, she's 2 years old and still when I pet her, she pees because she's so excited. Well, so I have a question. Am I weird because I have like two? Or do you think a person can have more than one? Like, am I normal that a person can have more than one?
I do absolutely think that a person can have more than one, but I would suspect that there is a dominant one. I'm sure at some point in your life, you brought Gabby flowers, you gave her a kiss, and then asked her how you could help with dinner, right?
Oh, totally, all the time. But well, the kiss was more like a pat on the bum. But yes, uh-huh.
That's three different love languages right there.
And oh, I see what you mean.
So she loves bilingual or trilingual in that case.
Yeah, I think that's trilingual, yeah. Totally.
And it's not that she needed all three, but one of them probably meant more to her.
Making dinner meant more than her than any of the other ones. She put up with the other ones for sure.
Right. So we're all kind of nuanced. We're imperfect humans. We all can like different things at different times. And really, I think the idea is just to know which one is your dominant one.
What if I like to be dominated? Is that one?
I don't think that's part of this podcast.
Huh.
That's a different one. A different podcast.
So are you going to tell me how to like figure out which one I have? If I didn't know which one, I know I have words of affirmation. But like, what if you're listening and you have no idea? Like, how are you supposed to figure this stuff out?
I would recommend you go back and listen to our first podcast episode.
Oh!
The one about self-reflection, right? And self-awareness.
I love that you just shouted that out. That was awesome, Amanda.
I mean, but that's where it all starts. And if you're married, think about your partner. But if not, think about past relationships or people that you're close to figure out when you felt loved by them the most. And you can probably pretty easily figure it out from there.
Could you? I mean, like, so like if I didn't have Gabby, like, do I like think about, because I didn't have Gabby, I wouldn't have kids. So then I'd be thinking about my friends or like my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, what makes me?
What moments did you feel loved by them or seen or appreciated?
So, but you got to sort of slow down and take stock. Like, you can't just, this takes a minute to probably figure out.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
And self-awareness.
There's got to be like an easier way though now, right?
Yeah, there's totally an easier way now.
What's it? Give me like the I don't want to pay attention, I have ADD way.
Oh, you go online and you take a quiz.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, 5 minutes, wham, bam, thank you, man.
Let's go. Did Dr. Chapman come up with this quiz?
Yes.
I love Dr. Chapman.
It's in the book.
All right. So after we figure out ours, then like, what if I don't know my partner's? I figure mine out, but now I don't know theirs, right?
I mean.
Give me some.
Then I guess you probably shouldn't be in the relationship in the first place.
Ouch.
Is that an answer?
No? Ouch.
Okay.
Wow.
Just kidding. Maybe just try asking them.
If Trent asked you, like, okay, 15 years ago, when did you get married? How long ago?
13 years ago.
13 years ago. Okay. So if he asked you 13 years ago, what was your love language? Would you know it or no?
I mean, I did then, yes.
You did. Okay. All right. Fair. So, like, in most cases, straight up, just ask them.
Generally.
Okay.
And if people don't know it, then you pass on the quiz link to them.
Got it. And be like, oh, hey, figure this out. Let's go.
Right. I mean, you can't be shy about this.
We got to get organized here.
Well,
I get it.
You got to connect, right? And understand how to connect.
Yeah. Like, to give me a little bit of that.
You got to talk about the specific things that resonate with you and why they're important.
Like,
right?
Before or after sex?
Generally, it's sometimes good before, but, you know, whenever.
So you have to talk?
Yeah.
God, talking is so overrated.
You got to talk about what resonates with you and why they're important. You got to be open and honest. And then you got to lead by example, even if it's hard. And sometimes that just means you got to go first. And hopefully your partner will follow. And it kind of shows your commitment and the effort that you're trying to put into it.
I like the go first thing. I think that's important.
Yeah, because, you know, got to get started, right?
Yes, you do. One step. I agree. Yep, all in.
And then once you start, got to be patient and you got to keep doing it, right? It may not feel natural at first, but after some time it will. And you can't get mad if they screw up or you screw up. Just got to keep trying.
Kind of like riding a bike. Like you get on, you fall, you get on, you fall, you keep going.
Yeah.
Till it becomes natural.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get a couple bumps and bruises, right?
Okay.
Keep going.
I get it.
And then kind of got to compromise and find a balance, because it's not always going to be your way. You have to give and you take. And be flexible.
So this is like real work.
Yeah, and it's a learning experience. And maybe finally, if none of that works, go see someone. Get some help. You know, I think a lot of people would be very surprised at the results that they would get having a third party. And they're unbiased, right? So don't be afraid.
I love it. I love that idea. Let's go for it. Well, I'm all in. Building a strong and fulfilling relationship requires like a ton of effort, people. And a lot of understanding and a lot of willingness to meet each other's emotional needs. You got to work together and support each other, and you can overcome any challenge related to these love languages and strengthen your connection. And I heard that since Dr. Chapman was so successful with his first book, he wrote like a bunch of more books, Amanda, to get even richer. Now there's like 5 love languages for children, 5 love languages for teenagers. Are they different? 5 love languages, military edition. That one is so random. And I guess each book focuses on the love languages for different types of relationships, like parent-child or friend-friend. He also co-authored The 5 Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, which focuses on how to improve team dynamics and employee satisfaction through appreciation. Go Dr. C, getting rich.
Besides getting rich, it does make a lot of sense, though, how you can apply knowing someone else's love language in showing them the ways that you care, right? And that's in all relationships, though.
Do you know how much effort I put into Gabby's and mine? A lot. Yeah. I don't have to. I'm full. I don't have time to figure out everybody else's.
But sometimes it's just like a little thing. Like if I knew a coworker's love language was words of affirmation like yours, I would write them a little sticky note that said, great job today, and stick it on their little monitor so they could see it, right?
How come I never got a sticky note yet in all these podcasts?
Maybe you just need to try harder.
Okay.
All right.
I'll clean up after the show. Hey, you know why? Because I'm going to go first. I'm going to be the bigger person.
Well, Pete, you had so many questions for me. I have a question for you.
Hit it.
Do you know if statistically couples with the same love language stay married longer than couples with different ones?
So actually, I looked this one up on purpose because I wanted to know this. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I appreciate that. Not a lot of research. No, I checked AI. Didn't come up with anything either. I didn't know because there's nothing out there.
I would argue they would not.
Okay, so here's the deal. Dr. Belinsky going out on a limb here. I would assume having the same love language makes shit a lot easier around
no,
the house.
No, I would disagree.
You would?
I would.
Interesting. Here's why. I think you project everything. I'm a projector. So if you're an acts of service person, you do them by nature. And if your wife gets off on that, then it's a win-win, man. It's natural. It naturally provides validation in this never-ending dopamine reward loop. I figure it would be like having like multiple orgasms or something. But if you don't have the same one, don't freak out. What matters more is that you are willing to never give up on each other. And sooner or later, you should get it right. So I say total win-win. Like, it works. Because like, I'm doing something, she's doing something. It's like back and forth. Why do you disagree with me?
Because opposites attract.
No, but then it makes it harder. We said like that. Like,
and in order for a relationship to be good and worth it, you have to work on it, right?
Huh. This is interesting. Here's what I think we should do. We should do a test. Okay. I think you should leave Trent. I think you should find someone else who is an acts of service lover. Hang out with him for like a year. Report back to me the results. Unfortunately, then break his heart, then go back with Trent. And then tell me what you thought about that whole year. And we'll write a book on it, and we'll be richer than Dr. Chapman. What do you think?
You should run that one by Trent.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I will after this.
Well, then, okay, on that note then.
What? What?
When
what?
Couples finally figure out, right, whatever their love language is.
Yes.
What if their love language changes?
Oh, my God.
Is that possible?
I think you're going too deep now. I love it, though, because I love deep. So I wasn't sure if we were going to get this deep in this episode, and I'm totally glad I prepared. I researched this one, especially because I'm a Philip Pendulous widower right now, and I was wondering if grief or depression changes things.
Wait, is that even real? Can you say that there?
Philip Pendulous widower? Dude,
you're hanging by a thread widower.
Look that up, dude. That worked like a charm.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna look it up.
Fine. Go for it. I'm gonna keep answering the question. I think the answer to the question is yes. It is possible for you to change your love language as you get older. Life experience, personal growth, and changes in circumstances all influence how you perceive and express love, and that is totally changing for me right now. So
I think I would argue.
Argue away.
Ready? I think.
Argue.
I think...
Go ahead. Argue with the widower. Let's see how this is going to go. Okay. Yeah, this is great. Well, I'm glad you picked this fight, mama.
So I think we talked about earlier how you can have two love languages, mm-hmm. right? A dominant one and then mm-hmm. a secondary. I would argue as you get older, you probably lean more into your secondary than you really are changing.
Interesting. Yes. But... one, I still want everyone to tell me how awesome I am.
That is my whole point.
So far I haven't leaned. My secondary is physical touch. I have not leaned into that yet.
Yes, you have.
No, I had no. Wait for it.
I think you have someone
wait
to touch
for it.
You.
What I'm learning since Gabby's passed away is, are you ready for this? Acts of service.
No, you're full of shit.
Are starting to matter more.
Well, maybe because you miss her, and that's what she did in your life.
Maybe. Absolutely. It could be completely grief-related, but I'm telling you, I have a new one emerging. I am living proof there is a new one emerging. Okay. Here is sort of like a quick list of things to look out for that might like change this language over time, because I'm like, you know, so sophisticated at this now. Significant life events such as marriage, parenthood, career changes, loss of loved one totally can reshape your perspective. Personal growth, understanding yourself and your emotional needs may deepen as you get older, like you were saying. And so you become more attuned in certain ways of receiving and expressing love that were overlooked. So I think that was where you were going with sort of the secondary one becoming, you know, more stronger. And then finally, let's do it. Self-awareness. An increase in self-awareness totally will prompt you to reassess your love language and make adjustments based on what feels authentic to you. because you start to develop more self-awareness the older you get, typically.
Okay, fair. Fair. Have you ever heard, though, with some people, love languages just don't hit?
Like, what do you mean don't hit?
Like, everyone says the feel-good stuff, but it's not, like, actual science.
Oh, like it's fairy dust.
Yeah.
Pixie dust.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imaginary.
Dude, everybody's a critic, am I right?
It is true.
Whatever.
Of course, there actual science behind
it? It's not. Of course it's not science. It's not supposed to be science. It was just a way to, like when Dr. Chapman wrote this, it was a way to generalize and help people communicate. I think I have a new love language brewing over here, and I think it's hating people
you
for
have
like
so many love
right,
languages.
Right, like, right. Seriously. Well, everybody's a critic, right?
You're
right,
a hater.
Though. Yeah, so you might be onto something, though, because there are dissenters. And the dissenters do argue that the five love languages oversimplify complex relationship dynamics. And it's not like that easy. So critics will also say that different cultures have their own unique ways of displaying affection, and they don't fit into Chapman's sort of five categories. And then, of course, the things we just talked about. Like critics will say that love is dynamic and can change over time, just what we were saying, and that his languages are like super static. So no bueno. So, I mean, there are dissenters.
But that's not really a critique, right? That's more just saying it can change from one to another. It's not like they're saying that he's wrong, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's true. Everyone is a critic. So I'll give you that. So besides love languages, are there any other special languages we should know about?
Special,
and not the ones you made up.
Okay. Wow. You know me very well now, and that's terrible. I think there's plenty more we use all the time, and we don't really talk about. So like first you have body language, right? The shit I use all the time. Facial expressions, gestures, eye contact. I'm an animal about this. I basically don't even listen to people anymore. I just use their body language to decode and interpret them like all day long.
But that's because you're expressive that you use all
okay.
those things.
I'm just telling you, body language matters. Okay. Then I would say like, I think the critics are right. Cultural languages, which I would argue is kind of why we're doing this podcast in the first place, right?
Okay, totally.
Okay. Like every culture has their ways of working, so to speak. And I think that can be classified as a type of language, don't you?
I mean, yes, it is a type of language and it is fascinating, really. Like when you travel to other countries, the stuff you learn and pick up on it. And
it's
like,
awesome.
Like, one of the things like I just think about is like being Asian. And when like, you know, someone gives me a gift from America, they want me to open the gift in front of them and give them a reaction of sorts. Uh-huh. Right. But like being Asian.
Because they love because their love language is receiving gifts and you're an asshole.
Maybe.
OK.
But like being Asian, you would receive the gift. You're very thankful for it. But then you open it later.
That's weird. But I totally
it's
get
it's cultural.
But this is your point. Absolutely. So there is a cultural language.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we could say that social media is a language, right? Like how you project yourself out into the digital world, like TikTok, Instagram, Snap.
It is totally crazy. And maybe a language in itself. And maybe we should write a book on that one.
You think so?
And maybe get rich. But like,
I'm in.
There's so much more with the social media, though. It's so complex because you've heard your social media life is not your true life.
I know. And besides, I don't think anybody would really read the book because it would take too long to read. And they just want 10-second clips on TikTok. So, good point. Finally, then, I think we have professional language, like work language. Because different industries a lot of time have their own special terminology. So, I suppose that could be considered like a language all its own.
I think I can agree with that one. I see it all the time in my industry, right? We deal with people from all different stages of life, walks of life, all different industries. And I hear language that I have to decode depending on where they're coming from or how they relate to different feelings.
It makes sense, right? In your world, because you deal with different people, but I don't. Like in my industry, it's all manufacturing. It's all the same. But that makes a lot of sense because you deal with people like with from a financial, like they're all coming to you for financial questions and stuff. So they have a bunch of different ones. So that's a perfect example. I love it. I don't know. There's probably a few others, but you get the idea. I think in general, like languages matter like way more than we think they do. And we have to look out for ways people are trying to communicate to us and not just with words if we want to pick up on everything people are saying. Language is big, big, big.
I love it. I mean, I don't know if I love it having to always think about languages and how to relate all the time, but I do. I love the thought process behind all of it and how we can become better humans.
I think it's super important.
Okay, so kind of answered everything that I asked. So I think I'm ready to just sit back and hear me some fun facts. Are there fun facts?
Good news, bad news. Good news, I got some fun facts. Bad news, I don't love them. They're not all that awesome. But we get what we get. Love languages didn't have a lot. So here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, so while you have a dominant love language you use in your most intimate relationship, it is totally possible that it can be different for different relationships.
That's a mind screw.
Yes. So husband-wife, one way, dad-daughter another way, or friend-friend even another way. So if you're like me, with my wife, I was all about words of affirmation. But when I'm with my girlfriend, I want physical touch. You get the idea.
You had a wife and a girlfriend?
Shh. Next. There might be a sixth love language.
No.
I know, right?
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Nope. Because then Dr. Chapman would have to rewrite that book or add a new chapter, and that's not going to happen. And he's already sold millions of copies.
And he's too old.
That too. Okay, but I guess I'm going to ask, what is it?
Okay. So a licensed psychotherapist, Ginger Dean, let's go Ginge, argues feeling known is the sixth love language. Appreciating and accepting your partner for who they are. Loving them through all their dreams, quirks, and everything in between. You know, like all their shit, so to speak. Just feeling known.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do in a committed relationship anyways?
Talk to Ginger Dean. She's not Dr. Ginger Dean. Okay. Number three. Just as people have different love languages, they also have distinct apology languages. And guess what?
What?
Dr. Chapman has a book for it.
Of course he does.
The five languages of apology. Knowing someone's apology language can be just as important as knowing how they like to be loved. Guess what my apology language is?
I don't want to guess.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a real apology.
S-E-S.
I don't think that's a real apology language.
Okay. Number four. Some pet owners believe their animals have a love language. For example, their dog might show affection through physical touch, cuddling, or acts of service, bringing you their favorite toy. I call total bullshit on this one. People are crazy.
No, I think dogs have a way they like to be loved on.
Wow. Okay. I'm just going to clean the studio when this is over and do my little act of service for you.
And Junebug is just going to bring you her toy later.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh my gosh. Okay. And finally, some studies suggest that different generations prioritize love languages differently. For example, older generations lean more towards acts of service, while younger people prioritize words of affirmation due to the influence of social media and technology.
Huh. So we've role reversed in our ages.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
But I told you they weren't going to be great, but that's all I got. That's a wrap on the facts.
Those are mediocre, but
yeah, they were.
I'll take it.
I know.
Okay. Well, I know I've gained some valuable insight into the five love languages by Dr. Chapman, and I hope everyone else has well. And I kind of hope that this is going to help you transform your relationship. So I think we all have to say thanks to Dr. Chapman because he identified a simple and really thoughtful framework that has helped a ton of couples navigate, right, the complexities of love in their relationship.
Thank you, Dr. Chapman.
Absolutely. And while though his concept has faced some criticism, like you said, because everyone's a critic, its enduring popularity and impact on relationship counseling demonstrates its true value as a tool for fostering connection and relationships. So, Pete.
What?
What do I gotta know? And I need you to keep it brief, because I want you to clean the studio.
Oh, damn. You are holding me to this. Okay. First, read The Five Love Languages, of course, The Secret to Love That Lasts by none other than Dr. Gary Chapman. If you're old school, you can find it on Amazon. Or at your public library, even. Otherwise, check it out on your favorite digital platform. Second, if reading is too much for you, at least watch the documentary The Five Languages of Love, released in 2010. It's only an hour, and it's basically just Dr. Chapman lecturing to an audience about how all the languages work. It's like a super simplified version. Third, after you're armed with some info, make sure you and your significant other spend time discussing what you learned, or pick any other meaningful relationship you have in your life that you really care to foster. The importance here is to put what you learned into practice. Then fourth, at your next event, pay attention to what people are chatting about and listen for some like grumblings about relationship. It usually manifests itself like, I wish he would just do this, or, oh, she's fine over there. She'll talk anyone's ear off. Because when you hear that, let's be honest, it's about to get uncomfortable for you. And people complain about their person way too much.
I mean, sometimes people just gotta like let it out.
I know, but they do all the time. It's like oversharing. So here's my trick. Instead of engaging these people, deflect and instead say, oh, it sounds like so-and-so, husband, wife, whatever, significant other, isn't picking up on your love language. Are you an acts of service kind of person? And then finally share these interesting and relevant details to seem sort of sophisticated. The five love languages are
acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, and receiving gifts. How'd I do?
Perf. Thank you.
I was listening.
Beautiful. They were created by Dr. Gary Chapman and published in 1992 as a way to put language around love. Number three, you don't need to share the same love language in order for a relationship to be successful. You just have to keep an open mind and keep trying. Number four, your love language can change over time depending upon different life events or influences, so please stay in touch with yourself. And number five, researchers are now proposing the idea of a seventh love language that we talked about a little bit earlier, social media language, where like the expressions of love through text, Zoom calls, TikTok, Snap are becoming way more significant and mattering a lot more than the in-person crap that I was used to, certainly in my generation. So welcome to the table number seven.
I don't know how I feel about that one. I think that is just a little mind-boggling for me still. But I agree.
If we're going to stay cultured and curious and be true to our podcast, like then we have to accept things that are like a little tough for us. I'm not saying we have to agree.
That's true.
We have to agree at all, but we have to accept. So we have to like consider and think and all those things.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm just wondering if like within all of the digitalness is still the original five, but that's just the way that they communicate.
It could be. Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of
right.
in person, it could just be. And there you have it, dear listeners. A wild ride through the five languages where we discovered that your partner might not appreciate your grand gesture of buying 100 roses if all they really wanted was for you to wash the dishes. We also learned that words of affirmation can be a double-edged sword, especially if your sweet talk sounds more like a Yelp review.
Oh, God, totally.
We'd like to think we've shared just enough information to make you either a flaming nuisance or a little more sophisticated to your fellow humans. Well, sort of. Remember to love wisely, and it is our hope that your love language may always be understood, even if you need subtitles. And if you enjoyed this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. Until next time, keep the love flowing and the laughter going.